The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
TSN 690.
When odds are stacked against, there's always that the fear of being embarrassed, the fear of being, you know, played out of the building within the first 5 minutes, and you show up.
Mark Denny of RDS, every day on the morning show here on TSN 690. Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt. Welcome back. It is Melnick in the afternoon. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. The snow is falling heavily here, but it could be worse. We could be in the New York or Boston area. Normally on Wednesday, he joins us a little after 6, but he is traveling. He is going to be in Montreal actually later on tonight, and working at the Bell Centre for the Habs-Penguins game tomorrow night. It's a pleasure to welcome from the airport in Toronto. He's on standby, so he could be dropping the phone any second. Gord Miller, how are you?
I'm very well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. You know what my favorite... I don't know if... Did you get to see any of the game last night, the Habs-Stars game?
I was doing the Ottawa-Tampa game. So
oh, my goodness. Oh, another Ray Ferraro special, huh?
Yeah.
Well... It's like,
did you hear him on, Monday night when he said, I wish they'd drop the puck so we didn't have to listen to this music anymore?
No.
He was irritated about the techno pop at the arena.
Oh, I see. Yeah, Ottawa. What is Kuznetsov, before he played the Canadiens, he said he was getting tired. Did he look tired last night or just bad?
Kuznetsov.
I'm sorry, Vasilevsky.
Jeez. Yeah. Two power play goals were terrible. Don't throw curveballs at me here.
It was just, you know, testing.
Two power play goals went right over his shoulder. He's allowed like 23 goals in his last 4 starts.
Yeah.
He doesn't look great. They've sprung a bit of a leak. Now, every team goes through a tough stretch, but they're going through it at a bad time. It just seems like they're a little bit off. You know, like the scoring has dried up a little bit. They're not scoring as much as they were. And their defense has sprung a bit of a leak. And all of a sudden, now I think Boston could catch them. They play 3 more times. Boston's got 2 games in hand, and the Bruins are playing great. I mean, amazing comeback last night against Carolina.
That was. So, I mean, there's a little, I know Bruins fans are bracing for news because 3 guys went down last night.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, honestly, in the second intermission in Tampa, I'm watching the Boston game against Carolina. I turned around and spoke to someone, looked back, and what was 4-1 was 4-3, then 4-4. I mean, it was incredible. I thought they were showing highlights. Like, honestly, you don't get that goals that fast in a Sports Center highlight package.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's just there are a lot of people now who believe the Bruins not only could catch Tampa, but they could win the Stanley Cup!
They're doing this without Patrice Bergeron. Now, if Chara's out for any length of time, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a huge issue, right? Because he's the key to their penalty killing. So, if they can do it, if they can get Chara back and okay for the playoffs, they've got a very good team. If you, with one rider, if you believe that Tuukka Rask can carry a team to the Stanley Cup,
I guess that remains to be seen, but I as long as he's healthy and rested, I think so.
Yeah,
what do you think?
He's played well enough long enough to say yes. And I think they're so good defensively, I would say yes.
Like, I haven't seen a lot of the flashes of temper that I've seen in past years with Tuukka Rask.
Right, and the unevenness.
Yeah.
The one thing that seems to be out of his game is the unevenness. They all give up bad goals, but he seems to have gotten the bad month out of the way, right?
Yeah. So I said before you go, I want to get these 2 questions that I wanted to ask you specifically. Last night, my favorite moment, it was a really good game last night. My favorite moment was very late in the game. The Canadians it's 6-on-3 for Dallas with Leighton out and the Habs 2 men short. And Jonathan Drouin is taking the faceoff in the defensive zone. He was having a real good night on the draw. And he beat Jason Spezza.
Yeah.
Who's one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
What has happened to Jason Spezza as a player?
Well, I would say that, you know, his pace was always an issue. So if he gets 5% slower and the league gets 5% faster, that's a problem. That's an issue if he, you know, because all of a sudden now the game's 10% faster for you,
right,
and you're not keeping up. I think that's the problem, right? I mean, he's always had great instincts, he's always had great vision, but the issue is his foot speed was always marginal, and now the game's gotten quicker, and he's really having a hard time keeping up.
Yeah.
He's also, you know what he also is? He's a high-risk player, and Ken Hitchcock doesn't like those.
He's got another year at 7.5.
He's a guy who thinks he can thread any needle. Mm-hmm. He's always believed that he can thread any needle.
Here's the other question I thought I mentioned that I'd throw your way. Why what has happened to Montreal's pro sports teams? Why are they all so bad?
So there was a body switch quietly at New Year's Eve. All the mojo from Montreal went to Toronto, and all Toronto's mojo went to Montreal.
How's it feel, huh? How does it feel, Montreal? How's it feel to be the butt end of jokes?
Well, I would say this, though. It's very transient now, right? Like, good teams this year or bad teams next year and vice versa. It's not like you're not going to see, you know, 6-7 years of dominance by anybody. I tell you what, the interesting story in Toronto was the Raptors. They're really good. Like, I mean, they're really good.
Yep. And they still, it's like, okay, it's a show-me phase, though, right? They could
sure.
get, it wouldn't surprise too many people if they went deep. However, show me you can beat Cleveland in the playoffs.
Right, for sure, for sure. But, I mean, hey, they got a chance. I mean, you know, how many times did you say they have a chance to beat Cleveland?
Yeah, it's a good time to be a sports fan in Toronto, no question about it. Gallo, do you ever wish you were in Toronto doing this? Or like Amanda Stein moving to New Jersey just in time?
Mitch, that's such a loaded question. You're just trying to get me in trouble here.
Yeah, that's what I do. So, Gord,
yes?
what's your schedule like, your immediate schedule?
I am in Montreal tomorrow, then I'm flying to Edmonton on Friday, so I won't be able to stay with you guys on Friday.
Oh,
I'm not gonna go to Edmonton.
Man. Why? What's in Edmonton?
A real good friend of mine's having a tough time, so I'm...
Oh, okay. Oh, now I feel like an ass.
No. A guy I went to high school with is having a tough go.
Yeah, so. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe...
My name is next on the standby list. I'm standing right behind her. I'm number one on the standby list.
How does this work? As someone who flies infrequently but is no longer afraid to, how does this work, this standby thing?
So basically, I'm on the later flight. I'm standing by for the earlier flight, but two earlier flights are canceled. So I'm on the standby list, but I have lots of Air Canada status, so I move up the list. So the problem is I need someone not to show up.
So when you say you have lots of Air Canada status, does that mean because you're Gord Miller?
No, because I've flown over a million miles, and I'm a Super League member. So. Oh, haven't called me yet. I'm almost a 2 million mile flyer. So I've flown a lot in Air Canada.
Yeah. So you rely on somebody not showing up, and so.
Well, in this case, yes.
And then what happens if they do show up?
Well, then I'm on my scheduled flight.
Oh, I see. Okay. Have you guys flown standby before?
But that doesn't get until 8 o'clock, so yeah. It's delayed. It doesn't even get delayed, so I'm trying to hop on this one.
I mean, sometimes for us normals, Gord, a gate agent sometimes can be kind enough just to let us on an earlier flight, but otherwise we have to pay like $200.
Yeah, that happens. They don't charge me because I spend enough. I'm responsible for enough revenue that they take care of it.
Did you happen to see the Andrew Shaw Greg Pattern incident?
Yeah. I don't know what he did wrong there. Like, I don't know what Pattern's talking about. I really don't. Like, I don't get that. And even if you did think that, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Like, in this climate, why would you say that?
I don't understand why he said it. I mean, I guess I understand that he was pissed, but.
Yeah, ignorant thing to say. Like, you know, I don't think you ever make light of concussions, and no one deserves to get one, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be concerned? Like, a lot of us around here are concerned for Andrew Shaw because of the number of concussions in such a short period of time and the way that he plays the game.
Sure, you're concerned, but you know what? My point about this is Andrew Shaw's an adult. You know, there's lots of dangerous sports, and I've told you this before, Mitch. My brother-in-law, you know, co-owns an IndyCar team.
Right.
He's had two drivers die in the last 10 years. Like, when you get in a race car, there's a risk. When you go on the ice, there's a risk. I mean, Andrew Shaw, he should be informed. He should be, you know, well-educated by the medical staff. He should make sure he's healthy to play. But if he wants to take that risk, that's up to him. My friend Brian Stemmel was almost killed skiing down the Hahnenkamm in Austria. I mean, he was literally ripped apart by a snow fence and was back skiing on it a year later.
Right.
That's his choice. You know, these players are adults. They make decisions. I mean, it's different than kids. It's different than, you know, college players. This is different, and these are pros, and it's their decision.
Okay, but sometimes in a situation like this, however, it shouldn't be his decision, right? Well, I mean, like, what happened last year?
If he medically can't play, like, if he can't pass a baseline test, if a doctor says he shouldn't play, then he shouldn't play. But if a doctor says he can play and he wants to play, that's up to him.
Because he admitted he tried to play through a concussion in the playoffs against the Rangers, and he was finally scratched for game six.
That's his decision. That's his decision. Like, I really, you know, I really don't think it's us to be a nanny state to tell people who can and can't play. If a player thinks he can play, he can play. They play through bad knees and hips and you name it.
But that's not the brain, Gord. Come on.
Your head is different, but people box. They do all kinds of things that are bad for your brain. You know, that's up to them. If they want to do it, it's up to them.
You need to get to Montreal and have a drink.
I'm on. I just saw my name pop up. I'm on.
There you go.
I'm not broadcasting too loud because there's other people waiting, but I'm on.
All right. Well,
touchdown, Gord.
We'll talk to you in an hour or so.
Sounds good.
All right. Gord Miller. There he goes. Yeah, I'm not trying to damage anybody's reputation here, but there's too many, and we don't know how it plays out in other cities because we're so on top of stuff here in Montreal. But going back to the Dale Weiss situation, when he was clearly out on his feet and he came back and played that night, Canadians were slapped around by the NHL for that. Just Shaw playing through an obvious, it was obvious he was rattled against the Rangers early in that series, and he was allowed to play. Of course the player's going to want to play.
Yeah, Gallo's been on Philip Deneau in his situation. Montoya, that was very murky. I mean, there's just been a lot of strange occurrences.
Yeah, I don't know how it plays out really in other cities. I mean, it feels like for whatever reason, the Pittsburgh Penguins have dealt with concussions more than any other team in the National Hockey League. And you had that craziness last year where Sidney Crosby misses, what was it, one game, and he comes back and he has those concussion issues. And hey, look, everything went fine for him. Ended up winning the Stanley Cup and doesn't seem like there was any ill effects. I have to say, like, I agree with Gord. I thought, like, one of the points he made, it kind of went by the wayside. Like, the important thing is, I do think it's a player's decision to play or not to play. But as long as they are informed and they know the dangers and they know how serious it can be in their future life. As long as the NHL doesn't try to hide or sugarcoat anything the way the NFL did for a long time about the information they have, like, you have to fully disclose to the players all the information that you have about concussions.
So, yeah, but shouldn't the Canadians have been in a position to override Andrew Shaw's want and desire to play through a serious head injury last spring?
Last spring in the playoffs?
Yeah.
100%.
So that's, you have to protect these guys from themselves because they're so competitive. They don't know any other way. They're not going to say no. But that's, you're doing more damage. So what you said earlier to Pierre, I think, about
being more susceptible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a medical fact. Once you suffer one concussion, it's much more likely that you're going to suffer another one and another one and another one. There's no debate about that.
That's right. And I mean, this is going to sound brutally cold and businesslike, but the other thing is, you talked about he's got four more years on a contract. You're also protecting a player from, so you're protecting your investment. You signed him to a contract. You committed a lot of money to him. You also are thinking about your team. You're protecting your player, helping the player, but also you've got to be thinking about your team in the long run. That's part of it, too.
As far as the team aspect and keeping him out, I just don't know how these tests work.
Yeah. Well,
I really have no knowledge. Like, Mitch, I've gone through tests, not for concussions, but regular tests, having not studied and found a way to pass. Something I've done.
Yeah, there's no perfect science. There's no perfect lie detector test.
Do you think you could fake your way through a concussion test? I don't know if you can.
What do you mean, a physical test?
I'm saying, can Andrew Shaw, if he was concussed last year?
No, what you said.
No, I'm talking more in school. You don't study, you still find a way to pass.
Yeah. Okay.
Did that in high school.
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant like a urine test or something.
You know. We all like the physicality of a game like yesterday. I have no problem with that. But when it comes to injury, I think it's a lot different. He looked like, you know, and he walked right by me or walked. He was carried right, you know, by me and he looked out of it. He wasn't putting any weight on his left leg also.
This idea that you can get free, like, to me, it's not that Shaw was out. I mean, I thought you could clearly tell. The guy knocked himself out. Now, that's on Shaw. It's not on Pattern, right? But this idea that you can get three shots on a guy just because he hit you, that wasn't a run. It wasn't a charge. It was a big hit.
You know, if he knew that he was out right away, then, you know, you could ask, well, why did he give him a couple of shots with his glove? And my guess is that, and who knows, you can debate this stuff all day long, is that Patter knew that he got run by Shaw. Shaw was there. He gave him the business and then realized, oh, that's not very good because his eyes are rolled back in his head, and he obviously was out as soon as he hit me. That's my read on it.
You know, I thought he took a run at me. I mean, I'll take a look at it again, but it seemed like his head hit mine. And, you know, it was, there's a reason why a guy like that gets 4 or 5 concussions a year. And, you know, I think his play speaks for himself. He was knocked out as soon as he hit me. He knocked himself out when he hit me. So I didn't realize he was knocked out until he was on the ice and, you know, his eyes were in the back of his head. So, I mean, you play like that, that's what happens sometimes. So,
should there have been a call on the Shaw on the interference?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'll look at it again, but I mean, that's the ref's call. And, you know, I talked to them about it. They saw what they saw. I saw what I saw. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Greg Pattern after the game last night, before that, from this morning on the morning show with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt. That was Mark Denis, Mark Dumont of The Athletic, and, of course, Bob McKenzie.
Greg Pattern parlait du style de jeu à Shaw. Les commentaires de même, je pense que ça ne mérite pas une réponse. Je pense que ça en dit beaucoup.